I was very lonely at school. I was very lonely as a teenager. I was always looking for acceptance, a place, and something to belong to, something that I fitted in with. Did a secretarial course when I finished secondary school, and I eventually worked in a shipping company. So that's what I was doing when I met my future husband, a Malaysian-Chinese student studying commerce in UCD. We started going out together, even though I had reservations, but I squelched that down. I knew he was a gambler before I married him. And I, in my naivety, thought getting married and having a son, that he'd be so happy about all that, that he'd stop his gambling. But little did I know. Eventually we got married. We got married in Dublin. And we lived there for 3 years after we married and had two children. And then we went by ship to Malaysia. I lived with my in-laws for the first year in Malaysia. During that first year, my husband was unemployed all the time. He was trying to get work, but he couldn't. So he spent most of his time gambling across the street in his school old boys association. This used to trouble me terribly. I've lived with alcoholism, and I've lived with a gambler. And I would say gambling is worse than alcoholism, the hold it has over a person's mind. I reached a point during that first year when I wanted to do away with myself. I couldn't see any. I felt my husband didn't love us, that his gambling meant more to him than anything. I just couldn't. I reached a point where I couldn't face life. But God held on to me by a thread. I knew that he had given me life, and I knew that if I took my own life, I would stand in front of him with empty hands and an empty basket, as it were, and no explanation for the life that he had given me. And he held on to me by that thread. Eventually we moved, my husband did get a job, and we moved into a home of our own. My family back home knew I was under pressure and sent me a ticket to come back for a holiday, which I did, and saw a psychiatrist who put me on antidepressants, told me not to come and back to see him until I felt I could think clearly again. At the time, I was staying with my mum, and when I came back to mum after getting this medication, she said, "You can't be taking that. It's far too strong. Your speech is slurred. You can't look after your kids." So who could I talk to? There was nobody I could talk to except a bit of prayer, and carried on for a couple of months, and then woke up one morning and I could think more clearly. So the doctor had told me to come back to him when I felt I could make decisions. So I went back to see him, and he lightened the medication. Eventually my husband came over to visit us, and realized that we meant a lot to him and that he missed us. And he came with an insurance policy on his life, which he figured would give me some sense of security. So I agreed to go back to Malaysia. My parents weren't 100% happy about it, but I agreed to go back, and I did. Life went on. I would visit my pastor's wife regularly, pray together. And then one day, herself and her husband handed me a book called God's Smuggler, which is about miracles. Where the main thing I remember from it was that when Brother Andrew was taking Bibles into China, he would pray that the God who made blind eyes see could make seeing eyes blind so they wouldn't see the Bibles. I knew that God was still doing miracles. So a little bit after that, my friend Betty told me that God was willing to give us his power to do what he wanted us to do, and that something had happened to her husband, and he was a different man. So my initial reaction to this was, that's for priests and missionaries and church people and that sort of thing. So I got on my knees and I said, God, I know I've been baptized and confirmed, but I've never thanked you for sending your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to be my Savior and to forgive me my sins. And I'm doing that now. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my life. I said, I know you called me years ago. I tried in my own strength to answer. I made a mess of it. But I said, I'm still willing if you want to give me your power. And I just left it at that. A few days later, I was in my bedroom praying for a young guy who was withdrawing from drugs, cold turkey, in our pastor's house. And I just came to the end of my, what I could pray. I was completely bereft. I was empty. I couldn't pray. I had nothing left to give or to do. And then suddenly it was as if God stood over me with a jug of liquid joy and liquid love that he was pouring into me and was bubbling out at the same time. I couldn't get the smile off my face for about 6 months. People were absolutely gobsmacked at the change in me. And I have to say, I've never been the same since.